Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. What a glorious day today is. Much better than yesterday when I was trying to travel back from Synod Assembly and encountered rain, then snow, then more rain, and finally made it home. But I do have an announcement. We have a new bishop-elect after a very interesting time of listening to the various candidates. On the fifth and final ballot, the Reverend Dr. Megan Johnson Alabuni was elected as our next bishop. She and her husband have been serving in Jerusalem, but she comes from Colorado, and she lived for a time in Cheyenne. So, yes, I did ask her if she knew where Buffalo was, and she said, yes, it's up north near Cody, close enough. At least she knew it was in the northern part of the state, so that's all well and good. So it was good to be among colleagues, to be with leaders of the synod, and to be able to conduct the business of the church. But it's also really good to be home. Today over at the Methodist Church at 10 o'clock, the bell choir will be playing along with the choir. So we're going to try to move this worship service along a little quicker than usual so that those who'd like to go over to the Methodist Church can do so. Our volunteers for food pantry for tomorrow are Shelley McPhee, Renee Tiller, and Rebecca Edstrom. Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we'll have Bible study here. Wednesday at 8 o'clock, men's breakfast at Southside Grill. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able to join in the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song. It is number 367, Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds.
Thank you.
O God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from Acts chapter 8. Led by the Spirit, Philip encounters an Ethiopian official who is returning to his African home after having been to Jerusalem to worship. Philip uses their encounter to proclaim the gospel to him. Upon coming to faith in Jesus, he is baptized by Philip. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of their entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot, as he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "No, how can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 22 responsively. "From you comes my praise in great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord.
The Lord shall be in his house. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May their hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow before God.
For the name belongs to the Lord, who rules all the nations.
Indeed, who sleep in the earth shall bow down and worship, and all who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, and they shall proclaim their generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, 'The Lord has acted.'" The second reading is from 1 John. "We love God and others because God first loved us. We cannot say we love God, whom we have not seen, while hating fellow Christians whom we regularly see. Love toward God is to be matched by love toward others, because the essence of God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son to the world so that he might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that we loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as a Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord.
That bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleaned by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, some people looking at our gospel text today would be thinking, well, what is it that I need to prune out of my life? And others might see this as, what do I need to prune out of the church? Or even worse, who do I need to prune out of the church? But as we saw in our reading from Acts, as we heard also in our reading from 1 John, God calls all people to God's self. God does not exclude. What this is telling us instead is to look at who owns the vine and who cares for the vine. Who is the vine? I'm hearing whispers. Who is the vine? Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and we are the branches." How many of you are gardeners? I get a couple of little hands. And what happens when you are looking at a plant and you see that some of its branches have died? What do you do? Do you just leave dead branches on there? Usually you prune them off, right? Cut them off. So that, and if you see some that have just withered and don't look like they're going to grow, what do? You cut them off. And that way the plant has a chance to thrive and produce more. That's what Jesus is making an analogy to today. That he is the vine, we are the branches. And if you are a grower of grapes, or a grower of just about anything, you know that sometimes you have to shape that plant. Sometimes you have to cut aside branches that are producing well. You have to prune them aside so that branches underneath can get light and can get air. And so think of Jesus as the vine, and we're the branches coming from it. We're the branches as individuals. We're the branches also as church. And what he's saying is we need to stay connected to him, to stay connected and to know that there are times when we are going to be pruned. He's telling his disciples at this time that they've already been pruned, and they've been pruned in order that they may bear fruit. And Jesus says, if you abide in me, if you hold on tight to me, you will bear fruit. Not you might bear fruit. Not I'll be looking for the fruit, but you will bear fruit. And that's my challenge to you. As you consider this passage during the course of this week, how am I bearing fruit? How is this church bearing fruit? How have we been pruned in such a way that now we can produce as we could not do so before? How have we produced in the past? How will we produce in the future? All to the glory of God. I said I'd keep this short because I want those who are interested in going over to the Methodist Church for their service at 10 o'clock to go there. So I will introduce to you a new song. It's one that I know, but you probably don't. And you should have received at the back a song sheet. If you don't have one, let me know. No one's admitting. You're the only one admitting to not having one. You can pass that down to anyone else who might. Okay, in the back. So you'll see, this is called I Am the Vine, and it is based on our reading for today. I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me, you shall be fruitful. Love for the world, hope for the hopeless. And the verse is, if you love, then you must root yourself in me, for the branch will fail and die without the tree. And the other, if you give, then you must give yourself to me, for the well will soon run dry without the sea. Julie, can you play that one time through before we sing it?
Sure. There's no comfort until it's going to be a little tougher.
Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news.
We pray for the church around the world, for all ministers, and for the mission of the gospel. Keep all newly baptized and confirmed in your care. Cleanse our hearts with your word and help us to abide in you always, God of grace.
Hear our prayer. For the well-being of the earth and of all created things, for rivers and lakes, streams and estuaries, melting glaciers and polluted waters. Renew the face of the earth and shower us with your goodness. God of grace, hear our prayer.
For the nations and all those in authority, for local, state, and national leaders, for elected representatives at every level, and for international organizations, that justice and peace may reign. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. For all those in need, for any experiencing homelessness or unemployment, for those fleeing from oppression or seeking asylum, and for all who are ill or suffering, especially those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer.
For this congregation, for the caring ministries of this faith community, for all who visit and minister to one another, for all who take communion to homes or care centers, and for all who seek to share your love with the world, God of grace.
Hear our prayer. With thanksgiving for the saints who rest from their labors, help us, like them, to bear much fruit and to become your disciples, and at the last bring us to that heavenly banquet where all will feast together at your table. God of grace, hear our prayer. Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Thank you. almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
Thank you. Let's pray. Blessed be God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you sent the light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ our risen Lord. Amen. As we go forth into the world, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Let us join together in our Sunday song, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, number 392.